2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Tacos Fast 40 presented to you by DFSArmy.com. This week we're headed to Wine Country, to Sonoma Speedway, or Raceway, for the Toyota Save Mart 350. Gonna be 110 laps of road course action. Some right-hand turns finally are on the menu. And gonna break this down real quickly. Just gotta remind you that DFSArmy.com is where you need to be for everything fantasy related, and you can come try us out using the link in the description. Use promo code TACO on sign up for a lifetime 10% off. You'll want to be able to use our domination station to optimize lineups for both DraftKings and FanDuel NASCAR this week. It's going to be a good one, and there are going to be many ways to attack this slate here, and let's just get right into it here. Sonoma is an 11-turn road course. Lots of elevation changes and lots of gear changes as well as they go throughout these turns. They will be shifting pretty wildly. Your second gear throughout all of the second, third, and fourth turns. And then when you get down, you go downhill quite a ways into the seventh turn, where you'll drop all the way to first gear, trying to slow down and go through the windy backstretch there. And then you need to bring it all the way back for turn 11. 11 is just incredibly sharp, and you can see some guys find their way out into the sand if they're not careful here. You've got a lot of issues that pop up. You've got people wheel hopping, flying off the ramps, getting into the sand and spinning out, maybe finding the tires. But usually these incidences are very isolated. The DNF rate is pretty low historically. Only a DNF percentage of 13%. It's one of the lowest that we'll see on any track. You don't really find multi-car crashes here all that much. And it's hard to go a lap down, considering that these laps take well over about a minute 15, minute 20. That's the usual lap times around here. So easy to gain your laps back. You won't see a lot of people going laps down. And the DNF percentages kind of paint a little bit of a picture here at this track. You're really good drivers. Your drivers that on season average, between 80 and 100 driver rating, your better drivers, they have almost like a 0% DNF rate at this track. The almost all the DNFs are coming from guys that are, you know, poor or lower tier drivers. Pretty much anyone with a driver rating under 60%. That's when your DNF percentage drops to 17%, goes all the way to 30-40% when you dip under the 30s into the scrub category. But of all the people that have raced here in the last few years, your general good drivers have a very, very low DNF percentage. And this week it's definitely a different challenge. It's a 2-mile racetrack like at Michigan, but it's completely different, 0% banking, and of all the tracks that we go to, this will have the lowest or the second lowest number of fantasy points available, considerably. The only track with less fantasy points available is Watkins Glen, the other road course. and they only have 90 laps there of racing. We have 110 laps. You know, the track with the third least number of laps was a place we went to not too long ago, Pocono. That has 160 laps, 120 laps during the fall race. And, yeah, we saw with Pocono, you know, the leaders obviously were not quite as mandatory. They didn't lead as many laps. And that's certainly going to be the case this year, or this week at the Sonoma with a road course. You generally get to fade, like the pole sitter. And there usually is one person that dominates to an extent, but you're not going to see anyone leading over 50 laps. The average driver at Sonoma averages 30.5 fantasy points. Compare that to Martinsville or Bristol, where the average driver averages 68 fantasy points. At Sonoma, if you compare the difference between the average fantasy point or the average fantasy point performance, 30.5, compare that to the average fantasy point performance of the pole sitter, that's 33.4. Not a big difference. You see much, much bigger differences at different tracks. But here there's no real huge advantage to being a pole sitter unless you just so happen to lead a bunch of laps. But you can definitely get past here. It's hard to lead over 50 laps. We've seen only one person since 2013 score over 70 fantasy points. That was in 2013. That was Martin Truex Jr. He led over 50 laps himself. But really, you're going to see scores in the 60s at maximum, really, from your dominators. Maybe if a guy leads a bunch of laps coming from the back, like a Kurt Busch type or something. But just plan on really your lineup not so much being about hitting the guys that score big. It's really more about avoiding the guys that do really poorly this week. Perhaps there is a guy or two that do put up a ton of fantasy points. We'll try to be on them here. But just, you know, when looking at just the front end here, it's pretty easy to see why we fade the pole sitter. They average 9 lead laps, 7 fast laps off the pole, which is it's the worst mark there is. It's even worse than at Watkins Glen. At least in Watkins Glen, the pole sitter tends to lead a lot of laps and stuff. Here, that's not the case. You see a lot of lead changes. And you really, really want to embrace the variance of this track and try and fade the chalk. It's going to be hard with how qualifying ended up. A lot of guys that are really, really good at road courses and were good in practice qualified back in the teens and the 20s. So I think a lot of people are going to be on the same plays this week. And, you know, it's definitely less about fading that free play sort of chalk starting from the back, the guys that you know are going to move their way up. It's more about fading the chalk up front. You know, your Harvicks, Kyle Busches, Kyle Larsons of the world, especially with him starting on the pole. Feeling a very strong fade on Larson. Let's talk about Larson here real quick. He won the pole. In his post-pole interview, he had said that he had always qualified well here. The problem just so happens to be sucks during the race. Usually, not the best at road courses is Larson. You know, this is definitely a place where you want to have a lot of experience. You want to go after veterans here. A Jimmy Johnson looks better than he usually would on any given week. Or even guys like Kurt Busch, they've just been around a while and know what they're doing. It's going to be pretty lucrative to avoid a lot of these rookies. You know, guys like most notably Bubba Wallace, who have had a really, really tough time learning the track. Or even like Will Byron, who is racing here for the first time. I'm just really, really, really not going to be investing too much into guys that are racing this for the first or second time. You want to have years of experience here. That I think that just helps so much. you're going to see guys that are usually mid-tier drivers. And, you know, when you're looking at the historical summary, you can kind of see, you know, your range of guys from the 90 to 100 and 80 to 90 driver rating range. They're about equal with the studs in this race, as where other races we'd see them be a step behind. But those guys, your solid and steady guys, your Ryan Newmans of the world, they're going to be in really good spots. You know, guys like Jamie McMurray, the veterans, you know, they're going to take a bit of a step up and, you know, not have to rely just on pure horsepower, but about not making mistakes. That's the number one thing that will lead to result in Sonoma. There are tons and tons and tons of places where you can make mistakes, and making small mistakes will drop you back a few tenths of a second off of the pace. And we saw it in qualifying, you know, with them only having one lap to do it. The slightest error will send you back a ways. There's just a lot of room for catastrophe if you don't know exactly what you're doing, or if you run into the littlest bit of trouble, or if you're too aggressive. Some guys like Larson says that he would oftentimes tear his tires up at this track, just because that's one of Larson's key weaknesses as a driver, is he's just very aggressive. You kind of want to focus more on, you know, this would be a great place for to use Jeff Gordon, or, you know, just guys who are very good at conserving their equipment and just being good race managers. That's what you really need at a road course. And then there are just some guys who are good at road courses and some guys that are just not good at all at road courses. You see certain guys like Allmendinger, Kurt Busch, Boyer, who are top tier drivers whenever we're at a flat track like this. And some drivers like, you know, Denny Hamlin or Kyle Busch, Matt Kenseth always. These guys would struggle really badly with road courses. Some guys just are not fans whatsoever. Like Ricky Stenhouse, not the biggest fan of road courses. You can see it in the track history with guys. You kind of want to factor in track history a lot more than normal. And even with some of the guys that have changed teams, like Casey Kane has awesome track history here. And, you know, even though he's on a worse team now, this is a place where, you know, that veteran skill, that know-how, and just the, you know, the acumen for the track, it really matters a lot here. That's kind of what I'm going to be targeting this week. Let's roll through the field here. Just going to go by DraftKings order here. We already talked about Larson a bit. He's $10,600. He's starting on the pole right next to Martin Truex Jr. Truex was faster in practice. He was third in overall speed in practice two. Didn't take a 10 lap. Larson was 14th quick on the board. 9th and 10 lap speeds. I mean, nothing was sticking out about him in practice at all. But, you know, qualifying in practice, you know, with any small mistake kind of screwing you over during qualifying, you saw guys that had really, really good practice times just take a step back just because they put up a suboptimal lap. And, you know, it's going to create a lot of value here. With Truex and Larson, they got really, really good laps in. Larson just put up a really spectacular lap to get the pole here. But Truex was fast just constantly. He's always been up there. Each of the rounds of qualifying, put up a pretty darn good lap. And he's so steady and solid and consistent. And Truex is really what we're looking for here. I think I'm definitely going to be using Truex a lot more than Larson. I think Larson is a really nice fade. 84 driver rating at road courses. Truex has 104 driver rating at road courses, even though both of them average almost the exact same in average running position and an average finish. They're very identical. But Truex gets a lot more dominator points, a lot more fast laps here. Averages over 10 fast laps at road courses, 15 lead laps at Sonoma. Won in 2013. He's had some accidents recently, but when he's not, you know, wrecking his stuff, he usually is pretty darn good at these road courses. And I think that Truex can pass Larson early on. You know, Larson is 25-1. Truex is 4.5-1. For me, it's clear. I don't know if Larson will gain a ton of popularity on the poll. I think Truex will have more ownership, I would imagine. Just going off of the odds, it's a $100 difference. But Truex just has a much, much, much better chance here. Jumping up to the top of the board real quick to talk about Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch, your other two really big studs. And Harvick's your defending champion here, won last year. Just going to look real quickly at what he did last year. He got 65 DraftKings points, 56 FanDuel points, started 12th, won with 24 lead laps, 5 fast laps. That's pretty much what you're going to see out of the winner here, I'd guess. You know, between 20 and like 50 lead laps, or maybe even the guy that leads the 20 to 50 doesn't necessarily win. But you know, that's pretty much the dominating type performance we're going for. In the 60s, you know, if your average driver is going to put up 30s and your poor performances are going to be in the 20s, teens, and your DNFs are going to be slightly negative, but we don't see quite as many negatives at this track just based on, you know, the guys in the front not crashing nearly as much, the attrition rate being pretty low outside of the scrubs. You know, it's kind of like a chalky, unchalky race, if you know what I mean. Like, I guess it's chalky in the form of, you know, there not being a ton of, like, DNF variants. But, you know, if your guy does have a DNF, especially on FanDuel, you're just screwed. But there's a lot of variance in, like, actual performance. Like there's less pure random stuff that goes on as far as the DNFs. But there's a lot more randomness in just the, you know, the mix-up of drivers. It's not like a 1.5-mile track where you know that Harvick, Kyle Busch, Kevin and Martin Truex Jr., those guys are going to be up towards the front. Here it's, you know, we could see, we've seen AJ Allmendinger fight his way up to the front and lead laps here, then crash. We've seen, you know, Kurt Busch being dominant here oftentimes. You know, we see a lot of lap leaders, a lot of lead changes. You know, there's also just a decent chance that a guy could find himself up front for, like, a whole stage, a whole, like, you know, 30 laps of it, but we've seen it happen before, and there's also a really good chance that we could, you know, just see one guy bleed a bit and then fall out and not even be much of a big factor, you know, with place differential and finishing position mattering a whole lot more than usual this week. I would definitely not be tilting at not having the leader or the guy leading laps during the first stage, because all it takes from them is a poor performance, you know, finishing wise, to erase lead laps. You know, if a guy leads like 8 laps, if he goes backwards like one position, that's lost the fantasy points of like those 8 laps, you know what I mean? Anyway, getting back to Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, they're starting 6th and 9th. Harvick is $11,700 on DraftKings. He really does not need to be that expensive with how variant this race is, but he does pretty well here. Last 3 races, he's come 1st, 6th, and 4th. And Kyle Busch, we've seen him in the last 3 races, finished 5th, 7th, and 1st. If you go back farther, they've all ran into trouble. Many of them, you know, many a time they're finishing worse than 20th, or Kyle Busch has ran into some DNFs. You know, Harvick is always, he just overall, he's always pretty good at avoiding crashes. He doesn't really, you know, push himself too hard. He can, but usually he'll save it till the end of the race. Because he's the closer, you know, but it's not like Kyle Busch or Kyle Larson or Logano, where they'll be extremely aggressive or pull like a recce move trying to get around guys. And believe me, you can absolutely do that this week. It's on the menu with, you know, having to, you know, fight people for, position at a road course. It can get very physical. They will be trading a lot of paint. Guys like you know, Kevin Harvick or Truex, they just feel a lot safer to me, because they don't do as many dangerous moves. They tend to play it pretty safe and just rely on their fast car and them just not making mistakes. And, you know, I'm kind of on Harvick on DraftKings just for that. I mean, I know that a lot of people are just going to use him blindly. I don't really have much of a problem, you know, investing a ton in Harvick. I know it's not, like, optimal, but he did lead overall in 10-lap speeds in final practice, and that's kind of one of the number one things I'm looking for. Really, this week, it's kind of, you know, just play all the Stuart Haas Racing guys. That's kind of how things are shaken up. But, you know, with Harvick, there's no reason to think that he won't be able to find the front again. And I think he's just, like, yeah, he's just so locked in for a really nice finish, I think. Because, I mean, he's always finishing, like, top five or winning if he's not crashing this year, and I don't think the track type matters. I think this is a perfectly good track type for him, because he is, you know, the ultimate savvy veteran. And as for Kyle Busch, you know, he's definitely more, I mean, they're both definitely GPP only plays for me, but for Kyle Busch, he gets a little bit of safety starting ninth, but he's also Kyle Busch, so he's just less safe overall. His driver rating significantly worse than Harvick's at Sonoma. But, you know, starting ninth, he'll definitely go up. You know, Harvick, who knows? He was starting sixth, he could finish better or worse than where he's at, probably right around there. But Kyle Busch, you know, starting ninth, it gives him a little bit of wiggle room to move up and just make value that way. I know that you're going to be focusing more on, like, the $8,000-$10,000 range on specific guys, but it's important to explore the options outside of the chalks. It's really easy to just play the chalk, but you will kind of want to grab one of these lap leaders up here. And a lot of people are going to look to Larson or Truex, but I think that, like, Harvick starting sixth, he could have something to say about it in stage one. Kyle Busch, you know, could catch up and do some lap leading. Kyle Busch only averages 1.4 fast laps at Sonoma. Not a very good number. Harvick, obviously, a lot better, but Truex better than all three of them in that regard. Only Kurt Busch averages more fast laps at Sonoma than the Mr. Martin Truex Jr. So, yeah, now I've kind of talked about the big four. You got to talk about Penske here. They've kind of gotten really awkward in this range right before the big studs. Larson's usually lopped into this little tier here, but he gets a pass this week since he's on the pole. Keselowski and Logano are starting 10th and 12th, respectively. They kind of get lost in the fray a little bit. I know you'd probably prefer Keselowski overall, because Logano just has not been dominating this year. Averages under 5 fast laps per race, as where Keselowski averages 16. You know, and Logano historically also not many dominator points here, but he does have a really good consistency with his finishes. Pretty much always top 5. He has 7 straight top 16 finishes here at Sonoma. Not really competing for wins, and he hasn't been this season. Just kind of a top 10 machine, but that's kind of where he settled out. Logano looked really bad in practice and in qualifying. He just seemed really lackadaisical about it. Keselowski was fine in practice. He starts a few spots ahead of him, so I don't know. Like, Logano, he's starting 12th. I figure he'll finish, like, 7th or 8th and just kind of, you know, be there. Keselowski, I could see at least making a move, doing some sort of strategy or something to get himself up towards the front. I think Keselowski has more upside. Logano, it's hard to know what to even make of him. He's going to be low-owned as always, but he's going to always be sort of like a cash game play that you're not going to play in cash. That's how I'd put Logano. Like, his game is great for cash games. You're just not going to play him in cash because of the guys right under him. So Logano, he's kind of like a win the GPP sort of pivot. He just doesn't have the upside those teammates, Blaney and Keselowski, have as far as, like, being a dominator. But it's not like he can't do it, you know. this probably isn't the week to target it, though, honestly. Logano just doesn't have a first place car. He has like a fifth place car. He's not gonna rack up the Dominator points for you, but he's still costly. In this lower 9K range, you've got a couple of guys that are going to be massively chalk, and it's important to talk about them because they're very fast in practice. And that is Clint Bowyer, $9,300 starting 19th, and Denny Hamlin, $9,100 starting 21st. Now Hamlin had a rough sort of history at this track, but the last 2 years he's turned things around, finishing 4th and 2nd. In 2016, he should have won, but Tony Stewart ended up getting the best of him. I think that Hamlin ended up letting Stewart win there. You know, the tires hopped on him. Sure, he kind of, I don't know. He drove it way, way too hard than he should have, and it just felt like he was pulling over and letting Stewart win that race. I know that he wasn't trying to, obviously. They're all trying to win out there, but it just seemed like a miracle that Stewart was able to magically pass him on the last turn of the race. But anyhow, Hamlin starting 21st, that's really, 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 really good for him. I don't know much about why he was slow during his qualifying. Some guys just ran into traffic, I'd guess. But Bowyer, really surprised by him. He didn't. The one thing about qualifying I will say is that the K&N qualifying was right before it, and there was a crash, and someone had let some oil on the track, and they put Speedy Dry on the track, and then they quickly found out that the earlier you went out for qualifying, the worst you did. Like, they had to wait for the Speedy Dry pretty much to take care of itself, and the track got really quick. And you'd see the guys that took earliest laps, like Hamlin took sort of an early lap, Bowyer took an early lap. Those guys did not put up good times. We can kind of take advantage of that, because that's the only thing that's been unimpressive so far about Bowyer's weekend. He dominated first practice. He was the fastest on the board. Him and Blaney were like a step faster than the entire field. And then he didn't have the fastest second practice. He might have been in race trim the whole time. But he had the third fastest 10-lap times behind only his teammates. Bowyer is going to be a fantastic play. He's coming off a win. Won twice this season, and he really should have won three times this season. Let's clear that up. Definitely should have won three times this season. But, you know, I guess the rain gods kind of worked back in his favor last week. Or the week before. But Bowyer just going to be immensely popular. He's always popular, and his track history here is nutty. Take out 2016 when he was with H. Scott and crashed and finished last. If you get rid of that, his last six finishes are 2nd, 3rd, 10th, 5th, winner in 2012, and 4th in 2011. The dude is lights out at Sonoma, and he gets to start 19th. You kind of hammer that home. That's where you start your cash game, obviously. Then with Hamlin, he's had his history, like I said, was a lot shakier. Look back further than that 4th and 2nd. You see 18th, 26th, 23rd, then three crashes in a row. Now, you know, crashes are what they are. But, you know, Hamlin's, he doesn't have a terrible, like super terrible driver rating. It's actually right on par with Clint Bowyer's. Bowyer's just so good at finishing. Hamlin, you know, in general, he's good at finishing and just playing it safe and getting top 10, top 5s. With his second overall speed in final practice, I don't think Hamlin will have much of a problem moving up from 21st. So these guys, just smash them in cash, and then in GPP, maybe pick one to fade. This is like a big move, but it's really hard not to just put Bowyer in your lineups. Like, man. you have to choose your own strategy on that. You can just choose to eat the chalk, or you can get a little bit crazy. Maybe fade it and hope something happens here, but this is, of course, the hardest track to fade someone and hope they crash at. Just throwing that out there. You might want to be a little bit chalky here. Jimmy Johnson starts 7th, $8,900. Really good history here, of course. He had his worst performances. He had seven straight top 10 finishes until the last 2 years, where he had his worst performances of 13th and 13th. Starting seventh, so he's probably going to get ignored by everybody, and he's not dominating. He's just not going to. And maybe he might. Maybe at a track like this, he could sneak his way out front, but he has showed absolutely no upside when it comes to leading laps. Maybe if he stays out and gets a lead lap or two from a pit cycle like he did a few weeks ago. That's pretty much all I can see of Jimmy Johnson here. It's not really much info to like make a playoff of besides his history, and he has that history at like every track. But you know, the track favoring savvy veterans obviously helps Jimmy. I just wish that he didn't qualify so freaking high so I could use him. And then Chase Elliott also way too high, starting third. I guess there's a chance he could find his way out and lead some laps, but I don't see that happening. Kurt Busch, $8,600. He might be Veachalk. He's starting 23rd, fastest overall in final practice, and second overall in 10-lap speeds behind Harvick. His track history here needs no introduction. All top 12 finishes since 2011. Won in 2011. Runner-up in 2015. Fourth and third in 2013 and 2012. Seventh last year. Just super consistent here. And the tracks that Kurt Busch are good at, like, he's just always good at. He is really he's kind of like not really track dependent for his performance and stuff, but like when he's good at a track, he's very good at it, and for a reason. You know, he was fastest in practice, put up just an excellent lap to beat Hamlin's there. And starting 23rd? Are you kidding me? The dude's a beast, you know. Average finish of 7th in all road course races of his. And he's just having a much better season this year than he's had in several years. And you're telling me that I can get him for cheap, $8,600, and starting back in 23rd? Yeah, sign me up for some Kurt Busch. It's going to be ultra chalk, but he is projected at such a higher value than anyone else. It's insane. His odds are 8.5 to 1. Kurt Busch, 8.5 to 1. I mean, his road course pedigree, it just it stands out. He's right there with Harvick. I mean, he's every bit as much of a veteran as Harvick is. He's been around longer. So, man, Kurt Busch, just all about him this week. But man, it's just the tail of the chalk this week, because Bowyer, Hamlin, Busch, they're all gonna be chalk, and you really want to play all of them. So if you want to get off of these guys and play a low-owned guy, might I recommend to you again Ryan Blaney? I mean, last race you saw it. Blaney was like that. I had mentioned he was a super sneaky lap leader, and what do? He end up going out there and leading laps. And it was unprecedented, and it would be unprecedented if he did that here as well. But he was second overall in speed in the first practice. Him and Bowyer put up lap times that were well faster than everyone else. And then in practice, he was only 24th on the board, but 4th overall in 10-lap speeds. And I'm looking at 10-lap speeds feverishly over single-lap speeds. I mean, it's nice to have the upside of being able to put together a fast lap, but the 10-lap averages, I can't even believe we got many at all this week, but we did. Going to be looking to them a bit. Blaney, just a really nice, sneaky, alternative sort of dominator play. Last year, he had a really rough time with like finishing races and not crashing. This year, he's finished 98% of his laps. It's better than Kyle Busch, Truex, Harvick. He's been really consistent. And he's shown that he absolutely has dominator upside, and he's shown that several times this year. I don't know if, you know, he's had a couple of Sonoma races now, 4 road courses under his belt in the NASCAR series. I think Blaney could be just a really nice, solid option. I love the fact that he was quote-unquote slow in practice despite you know, having the really good 10-lap speeds. You'll find me using some Blaney this week. Like him on FanDuel as well. And then you've got Eric Almirola. I've missed using you, Almirola. It's been so long. But he's starting 24th, and it's not like he was slow or anything. Top 10 in all of his practice speeds. It was just, I saw what happened on the coverage. Literally, he just ran into, he got stuck behind Cody Ware. And he had to let him by, and you only get one lap, and that's what happened. I mean, he was doing a perfectly fast lap. He was definitely going to knock Kyle Busch off the bubble. Ended up not happening. Just ran into a little bit of traffic, and that's what happens. He gets to start back in 24th in a real fast car. So, nice pivot off of Kurt Busch, but I imagine Almirola would get a little bit of love himself. I think the play is to take a lot more Almirola than Kurt Busch since he'll be lower owned. But to put it in perspective, though, Kurt Busch is 8.5 to 1. Almirola is 85 to 1. We'll have to see where it drifts tomorrow. And remember, you can only check out the Vegas drift for tomorrow if you come join us on DFSArmy.com, promo code TACO. Hey, nice little segue there. But yeah, definitely check out where that's at tomorrow. It's curious to see. I would imagine it wouldn't go up very much with him qualifying back there, but, you know, Almirola, just really good at cornering. I love that ability of his that he has. I like him on flatter tracks, especially very flat tracks, road courses like this. You'll see me on Almirola this week for sure. Then AJ Allmendinger, the road ringer himself. He's been horrible at this track, but he's done so while dominating. He's just had 3 crashes in his last 4 years here. So 3 finishes of 35th or worse, then the 14th in 2016. You know, if you're just looking at it and you don't know, and you're just looking at the track history, it's like, he's had some top 10 finishes, I guess, but it's nothing special. Been really rough lately. But the crashes, these are quality crashes, mind you. Like his average finish is 30.8. That's Sonoma, but average running position of 15th. And that would be much better if you didn't even count the laps. You're just sitting back in the garage. He's led laps. The dude averages 15 lead laps at this track. He's starting 5th. He's only $8,000. I know that it seems crazy for AJ Allmendinger, but he is one of the best road course racers that we have. He's 12-1 on the odds books. They know this. They know this too. Very good at Watkins Glen as well. So just good overall road course racer. If he can just keep his car in one piece, and this is a low DNF track too, so I have hopes for Almendinger. I keep playing him here, hoping that he won't crash again and he crashes again. But as long as he just does what he usually does, he's not only going to be in the top 5 most of the race. He's going to compete for the win. He straight up is going to compete for the win. He's very aggressive, so I would not play him in cash. Obviously, starting in 5th, I wouldn't play him in cash anyway. But he's definitely a GPP play. He is going to be uber aggressive because he'll do anything for that first place position where he can, you know, hopefully run away with a win because he wants a win so bad. And this is where he's going to get it at. We've seen it in the past. Those crashes have come from him driving very, very aggressively. So Allmendinger, just a nice play. I wish that he started in the 20s. That'd be incredibly obvious, but starting 5th, you're just going to have to use him as an alternate dominator. And this is definitely the week to pivot with your dominators. Alex Bowman starts 17th, and it's hard to really know what to make of him. You know, his practice times, 21st in both practice times, didn't take 10 lap speeds. About 1.3 seconds off the pace. I mean, it's not wonderful, but all his track history here, I was back in, you know, his old team. He used to, for a few years on the Cup Series, he would just ride with low-end teams, like sort of like what Reagan is doing now, you know, just, you know, it was even worse than that. It was really like what Di Benedetto does. He's in a much, 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 much better car now. Yeah. This year is really just about learning where Bowman is really good at because, you know, all of his stats historically don't really mean anything. Now that he's in a Hendrix car. That being said, historically, you know, 31st and 29th. Honestly, for how Bowman was, that's not horrible. I mean, he does have the, he at least has that history here. But, you know, as far as being a play for tomorrow, I don't know. I'd use him on FanDuel. I always use Bowman on FanDuel. On DraftKings, it's just hard. This is an awkward range because you're either playing the super chalking Kurt Busch or Almirola, or you're taking one of these guys that start way up front like Allmendinger or McMurray, and then Bowman's kind of there with Suarez. They're 17th and 16th. Newman's 14th. You know, they're just kind of like awkward plays in the middle here. Kind of want to mix and match, but Bowman, you just play him in GPP because no one really owns him. I don't know. I'll probably get all my exposure over there on FanDuel. Then you've got Jamie McMurray starting fourth, which made me go, frickin' heck. Frickin' heck, he's starting fourth. Because I wanted to use him so bad. Very fast in both practices where he was fourth and fourth. In the 10-lap speeds, he was just edged out by Blaney. And he was fifth on the board. Still very good for him. He's got his teammate on the pole. And he has a solid track history here of just finishing between 10th and 15th. That's like his MO. Starting 4th, that's not going to be good. But he's someone that could definitely just chill in the top 5 or top 10, like all race and do nothing. Not a ton of upside, though. He's not leading laps. He's not even getting fast laps. He's really just a liability if he gets in trouble. Like, he's a lineup killer. So I would use him. I would not fade him, but I would use him with caution. Then you've got Daniel Suarez, $7,500, starting 16th. Pretty good in practice, 7th and 10 lap speeds, although 33rd on the board overall. So it shows you a little bit of difference there in how practice was this week. 5th in the first practice. Debuted here last year and was not bad. Did very well at Watkins Glen. Very well. And then at Sonoma, I finished 16th. I keep saying Sonoma. Is it Sonoma? I think it's Sonoma, actually. I should say Sonoma. But anywho, he finished 16th at Sonoma last year. Average running position at 20th. He moved up, so it wasn't a bad showing for him. Even had a fast lap. With Suarez, you know, it's just lack of data. And, you know, you don't want to use a lot of these, like, newer guys. But I feel like if I had to use, like, a rookie or, you know, one of the new guys, like Jones, Suarez, Byron, I would use Suarez. He just feels kind of safer to me. You know, not bad. Just on the road style, and did so well at Watkins last year. I'd roll Suarez a little bit, but I'm still looking more to the veterans here. Like, I'd prefer straight up the next guy we'll talk about here, Ryan Newman, $7,300, starting 14th. I'd rather use him straight up. He just has a super solid history here. It's kind of like McMurray's, but a little bit more top 10 upside. Last year, he finished 15th. In 2016, he finished 8th. 2015, he finished 9th. 2014, finished 11th. Pretty much always around that area. He's starting 14th, so he'll at least finish where he starts, if not moving up a little bit. But he's definitely just a good little veteran to use. He's gotten into a lot of trouble this year. Average running position is 17th, but average finish of 24th. But, you know, at a track where trouble usually stays away for the most part, why not fire up Newman? We haven't used Newman hardly ever because he keeps overqualifying. But this is a spot where I think that he can, 14th is usually an overqualification for him, but not necessarily here. I think he can move up from 14th. So I like Newman. You really want to get off of some of these chalky guys, and I think Newman could be a way to do it. Eric Jones starting 20th. Not great last year when he debuted 25th, but he also did pretty good at Watkins. 28th in both practices, 12th and 10 lap speeds. I don't know. I'm not too thrilled about using a ton of Jones. I would definitely rather have someone with more experience. Austin Dillon, $7,100. He's starting 27th, and I don't like Austin Dillon much at all. I don't really like rostering him. I prefer his brother. But you know, Dillon's history here is 18th, 22nd, 17th, and 17th. If he does that, it just finishes like 18th, 19th or so, starting 27th, that's pretty darn good. And he's $7,100. That's the cheapest that he's been all year, so why not use some Dylan? You'll definitely need to this week to kind of mix and match your plays up. Stenhouse, starting 18th, is really bad at road courses. 51 driver rating. Crashed last year. Before that, 26th, 20th, 31st, 27th. Starting 18th, I mean, no, he's never even finished in the top 20 here. And not that much better at Watkins. Not at all. Just not a good road course racer. Avoid Ricky Stenhouse Jr. this week, please. Paul Menard, $6,800. Similar to Newman as just being a veteran who can top 10 here. His track history is very similar. And much better equipment now. So Menard, kind of worried about his final practice. He was just 32nd on the board, didn't take 10 lap speeds. But, you know, if you look past that, starting 15th, at $6,800, all he needs to do is stay where he's at or move up a little bit, which he pretty much has in all of his last five races, then you're going to be good. So Menard, you know, was off him last week after he qualified a bit high, but anytime I get a chance to use Menard, I try to because he's usually someone that people tend to forget about. Casey Kane, $6,600. He's starting back there in 26th, and he took a very, very early lap there, so he kind of got screwed over. He was 8th in speed in 10 lap times, and until the 24th place finish last year, he had 4 top 10 finishes in a row. Won back in all the way back in 2009, and followed that up with a 4th place finish. Kane is sort of a veteran of veterans here. I remember back when he used to be a young guy filling in for Bill Elliott, but now I can definitely say he is a veteran here in the sport. The move to the 95 hasn't been good for him overall, but he's been all right, and he tends to steal fast laps like crazy. He averages 5 fast laps overall, and then at this track, he averages 4.5. At road courses, he averages 3. I mean, the dude just finds fast laps, and that's important on DraftKings. I wouldn't play him as much on FanDuel, but still, starting 26, he's definitely going to move up. Has never finished that low, at least since 2008 when he crashed. So Kane, I think, is a very safe play. I'm going to be using him a ton, and he's going to be a nice pivot off of the next guy I'm going to talk about, who's like the trap of all traps. And that is Bubba Wallace Jr. $6,500. Starting all the way back in 35th, but man, oh man, this guy has, wow. He hasn't raced a road course before. Figuring it out on the fly this year. And the dude's not good at road courses, so like the growing pains are very tough with him. He's sliding all over the place, finding the sand, spun out in practice, got into an incident in practice, bumped into another car there. I think it was Truex. Yeah, Truex bumped into Wallace, gave him a little bit of nose damage. But mind you, Truex had that damage before qualified second. So it was just a beauty bump for him. But Bubba, based on what I was hearing Darrell Waltrip talking about with him, you know, and Jeff Gordon, just watching them from practice, they're talking about how, you know, he's very, very much learning on the fly. You know, he doesn't know how to use the curbs to his advantage. They could tell pretty obviously. Doesn't know the most efficient routes around here. You really need to not roster him this week, even starting 35th, and it's going to be freakishly hard to. Man, oh man, that guy is struggling. You could see him crashing, or, you know, missing a cone and getting a penalty or something like that. I don't know, but like Bubba just looked about as bad as you could this weekend so far. But he's starting back in 35th, and I know that he gets free passes around guys like Parker Kligerman, and, you know, it's just, I don't know. Do I really think that some of the guys ahead of him, like Cole Witt, Justin Marks, does he really pass those guys automatically? I don't know. He was well over 2 seconds off the pace in practice I see people using Bubba a lot. He's a great guy. People love to use him. And start with a 35 next to his name and his game log showing three out of his four last races he's finished top 20. I think that will attract people to him, but I think he's just like an ultimate trap this week. So I'm going to try to use as little of him as I can. Then underneath him, you've got Byron starting in eighth. Really, really solid qualification for him. First and second round, he put up beauties for laps, but he's debuting as well. Obviously not having as rough of a time as Bubba, but Willie B is kind of a very, very, very talented up-and-coming driver. I can't really put a lot of stock into a new driver here, you know? I know Byron is so freakishly cheap every single week, but starting eighth, I don't know. It's a bit of a liability for me. Then Chris Buescher, love this play, $6,100. Sixth in final practice, and 19th here last year. Cracked the top 20. Not horrible at road courses so far in his young career. I know he's only raced both of them twice. Average running position of 23rd. And he's starting 25th. I mean, I definitely see him moving up some. And his teammate, starting fifth, AJ Allmendinger, I'm sure he's given him plenty of tips. That really has made Buescher a much better road course racer. You can tell being teammates with Allmendinger. They improved a lot last year. I expect some big things from Buescher, and Buescher is just someone that has not been on the radar at all recently. Just usually overqualifies. And this is a pretty decent spot for him. So I could definitely use me some Buescher. And then underneath Buescher, you've got another great play here. Michael McDowell, $5,900. 7th in first practice, and then 10th on the board in final practice. 14th at this race last year. And you really can't look much farther back than that, because he has a very similar story to Alex Bowman. Used to drive just straight up bad last place like equipment, right? So he crashed in 2016, finished 39th, 34th in 2015, 24th in 2014, and then 30th back in 2011, 21st back in 2008. For the equipment he's driven historically, he hasn't been bad here, and he showed we can do an all right equipment last year with his 14th place finish. I had a really good outing there. His practice times are awesome. He's still in the $5,000 range, starting in 22nd. Is not horrible for him. I think he can definitely stay there. He won't get passed by the guys behind him. Outside of course, the beginning of the race where he will get passed by the guys behind him, Kurt Busch and Eric Almirola. So that is something that kind of sucks. It kind of makes Buescher just a little bit better in the sense that he doesn't immediately get passed by those guys as where McDowell does. But at least he is starting behind Hamlin. Again, it's a long race and things shake up quite a bit. For the price, McDowell is such a nice little play. Then you've got David Reagan. I think more people are going to use Reagan than McDowell. He was 11th overall in final practice, but 20th in first practice. His history here is garbage, though. That's the thing about Reagan. His finishes here, I'll just read them to you. 31st, 32nd, 39th, 36th, 33rd. 27th, 29th, 25th. Maybe the 25th would be okay, but Reagan, I definitely like Reagan on shorter and steeper kind of racetracks. Not the best at these flat tracks, especially road courses. He does do a little bit better at Watkins Glen than Sonoma, but no, I'm not really falling for David Reagan this week. I will use some Ty Dillon. He debuted last year and finished 28th. Average running position at 27th. That's okay. Ended better at Watkins. Starting 31st with some scrubs behind him, he could be all right for $5,700. And then for $5,500, you have the return of Trevor Bayne. Was kind of feeling using him a bit. His three finishes here, 27th, 25th, and 23rd. Starting 13th, that's going to be a no from me. Nope. 8th overall in final practice, but still, no. Starting 13th, He's going to move backwards quite a ways. I don't see him being a very good play there. Then getting down to the bottom of this field, and there are several little road course only ringer types. Boris said, rest in peace, man. He finally called it quits his NASCAR career, so we don't get that free spot anymore with the cool afro. But we do have some interesting names that come in here. First, we'll talk about Cole Witt. You already know him. He's in the 72 with LaJoy, and that car has taken a step up this year. You can see it in the practice times, 26 in both practices, and just his performances. He's finishing almost entirely in the top 30 this year. Go back 2 years. Cole Witt has 44 races. 66% of the time he's finishing top 30. So for someone that's always priced in the 5Ks, 4Ks even, and a guy that starts back in the 30s, he really rarely ever finishes worse than that. You know, two-thirds of the time he's finishing top 30, and a third of the time he's finishing top 25. That's pretty much his upside, but historically, he's done pretty well. 21st last year in this race, 22nd in 2014. Definitely someone you wanna load up on if you're gonna be spending a lot up top. But since all the plays are kind of they're all really, you know, all of the super chalk is kind of in the mid range 9-8K range. You're not gonna need to punt as much down here, but if you are going to, I really like Cole Witt for it. Then you've got Justin Marks, who's coming in at 250-1 on the books. You see the books kind of do this sometimes when they're unsure about these road course ringers. You know, we saw it with Alon Day last year, and he ended up having a long day. But, yeah, it was dumb. But, you know, with Marks, he is pretty decent. He's raced here a few times in the past, finishing 30th in 2015 and 2013. He's starting back in 33rd. Was 2.5 seconds off the pace in practice one, then practice two, 31st on the board, 1.8 seconds off the pace. Yeah, it's not great. Nothing to be too excited about. And you know, at least I know that Marks, or he's riding the number 15 that, Ross Chastain usually rides. So his car, it's not like his car is horrible, but, you know, it is a road race, completely different set of than what they've usually got for their, you know, intermediate packages and whatnot that he does so well on. I think Marks is going to he'll probably just be meh at the beginning, but he'll be like a survivor type, or just someone that slowly passes the people who are just awful at road courses. And you've got Matt DiBenedetto at $5,000, 23rd last year. And he's raced three times now, so it's not like he's super new. He did 10 laps, but he was the slowest of all of them that did, because he's by far the worst car that did make 10 laps. But he's 16th overall on the board. Of course, it's worth mentioning that he did have plenty of chances to put up a fast time compared to others. But nonetheless, starting 30th, DiBenedetto looks like he's going to be a reasonably solid play. You know, just, you know, starting 30th, you wish he'd start a little bit further back, but he could be all right. If he has a 23rd place finish like last year, he's going to do excellent for you at 5K even. Just such a ridiculously cheap price for him. Then the 4K guys, really hard to advocate for any of them. Chris Cook was 3.5 seconds off the pace, 2.5 in final practice, starting 36th. I guess that's his appeal, is he's starting so low, and he's another guy that's 250-1 on the books, but there's no reason they should be 250-1 and DiBenedetto be 1,000-1, because DiBenedetto is a better play than these guys, I think. Definitely has higher upside, but none of these guys are winning nonetheless. Chris Cook just a little slow. Tommy Drissi, $4,700. He's actually raced at Watkins before, not here. He's got by far the slowest car. 6 seconds off the pace in first practice, 4 seconds off in final practice. Don't touch Drissi. It was such a slow car. Greg Alding starting in 29th. His practice time's not really that horrible, but he's starting 29th, and he's Greg Alding, so don't play him. He's just going to crash. And then Cody Ware, 38th, just dead last, but man, just so slow. 3.7 seconds off the pace. Him and Drissi could only, like, catch value if several guys ahead of them just so happen to crash or have problems. That's going to be it. And this is not a place where you get large crashes at all, like, ever. So it's not a very good strategy to bank on those guys. So down low, I'd focus on DiBenedetto, Cole Witt, Ty Dillon, some David Reagan, McDowell, Buescher, Casey Kane, and try to avoid Bubba. Probably shouldn't play zero Bubba because there is a chance he could move up. But just really not liking what I've seen from Bubba. Anyone that watched practice or qualifying will go, because that's, no, Bubba's just constantly spinning out and stuff. But, you know, he could come like 25th and, or he could come like 20th and I'd eat crow. But we saw with him. He's visibly struggled. That's going to be it for us today. Hope you guys have a good, lucrative race in wine country. It's going to be a fun race. You should definitely tune in. You know, the right turns make it a lot more interesting than the usual race that you'd see on a given week. So come check us out at dfsarmy.com. We cover all daily fantasy sports. Really good content there. And you can come check out the updates tomorrow on the research station. Ask me your last minute questions. But I've got to get going here. Hope you guys have a good race, and I will see you guys next week. Later.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game. Yeah.